Well, good evening again, friends. It was morning the last time, but I think you are very much alert and very much alive, and it's great. Thanks to Denver. Where did he go? There he is. Appreciate your ministry as always, brother. Good to have you here. It's always good to have someone with you in church. I've been doing some recordings, doing one on Monday for our own church in Ballykeel next Sunday. And it was an amazing experience, especially in our own church. In other places, there were a few men about doing the recordings and helping and telling me what to do and not to do. But last Monday, there was just the guy doing the recording at the back, and he was slithering down behind the shield so that I wouldn't see him. And I was just preaching to the bare walls, and it was not a pleasant experience. So it's lovely to see you here tonight. Great to have Denver here, and that gives me a greater joy and a greater peace. Thank you for coming. It's lovely to see you. These days of pandemic are a real problem, aren't they? And we're having the same situation back in Ballykeel. We're trying to work out when best to start and open the doors and see how many come and do all that we have to do. And it's quite a task. So let's hope the Lord gives us favorable mindsets and people want to come out again and fellowship. For that's the lovely thing about being in church, fellowshipping with each other as we worship the Lord. Thanks to Morris for his welcome. It's good to hear that, and I was doubly delighted when he used my text this evening as a prayer. Thank you for that. Appreciate it very much indeed. Want to turn your thoughts and your attention to the first chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 1, please. And this is a passage, I'm sure, as with this morning's passage, we all know so very well. But I've felt this on my heart and mind for some time now. Both messages, this morning's and this evening's, for you here, and I trust that the Lord will use and bless these messages. Romans chapter 1, I'm reading at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be, or horizon to be in the Greek text, it makes it so clear, and horizoned to be, lifted up to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Amen. Pray the Lord will bless that reading to our hearts. But that lovely last verse there reminds me, it's great to have a testimony, isn't it? First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. That's what Paul said when he wrote to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 1:10. For your testimony was believed amongst you all on that day. It's great to have a testimony, friends, that's believable. And let me please remind you, as I did this morning, that it's great to have a testimony that men and women are pleased to listen to you when you stop and you talk, and the conversation comes round to the things of God or the awful times that we're going through and the difficulties there are. And when someone says to you, I'm asking you because I know you have a good testimony in this community, and that's always a blessing. Because you see, that's where the Apostle Paul is coming from. And our brother used the text in his prayer in verse 16, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The apostle was preparing to go to that great city of antiquity, Rome. He knew, of course, that it was also an amazing city of iniquity. And he wanted to make clear to the church that he was intending to visit that although it was a great city of antiquity, he knew that it was full of sin and sinners. And he prepares himself to go to that great city of learning, to that great city of authority, to that great city of great men. And he makes clear to the church before he goes, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm of that same mindset this evening. I was reading just recently of an old preacher, and he had been in church work for some time. And he said, I came to a point after 20 years of ministry. He says, I had studied all the religious philosophies of the day, but I came to the conclusion, he said, absolutely and completely, there was nothing better than the gospel of Christ. Then he said, the years rolled by and I reached my 40th year in the ministry, by which time I had faced many trials, many troubles, many testings. And even there I began to say, day after day, there is nothing as good as the gospel of Christ. Nothing better than the gospel of Christ. Nothing as good as the gospel of Christ. He said, I came into my 50s, empty chairs across the table now. The family had all moved, were married, and some had died, and the grave diggers had done their job. But I began to say, there is nothing to compare with the gospel of Christ. Another 10 years by, he said, and I'm sitting looking at an empty room, just my wife and I, and sitting looking at a church that needed help to grow and God to work in. And he says, after having soaked my soul for over 45 years in the ministry, studying the Word of God, walking in a close relationship with Jesus my Lord, I began to say, there is nothing worth anything but the gospel of Christ. You know, that's where the apostle's coming from. That's how Paul felt. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And I love the way he placed that text. He says, I'm not ashamed of the person of the gospel. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I want you to know, he says, I'm not ashamed of the person of the gospel. What does that word gospel mean? Well, we all know what it means. It means good news. On that first Christmas morning, the angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. About what? Why, about Jesus Christ, our Lord, of course. The good news about Jesus Christ is that he's the Son of God, and he's God the Son who has come to seek and to save those who are lost. And friends, we should remember as believers, especially this evening, about that baby of the manger. Out of the millions of people who have trod this earth and lived on this planet, few have made any kind of historical impact. Oh, some have made a little impact that's well remembered. Statesmen, scientists, politicians, military men, women of God, men of God. But a very small percentage of all of the people that have ever lived on this planet, friends, have made a mark that speaks for years and years and years. And yet our Lord Jesus Christ stands out like a bright shining star above every other individual that ever walked this earth. And Jesus Christ is the one that's spoken of more than any other. Why is it that Bibles are selling more today than ever they did before? No other human has ever attracted so much interest, so much devotion, so much criticism, so much adoration, so much opposition than Jesus Christ. And when you talk about Jesus Christ, some get mad, some get glad, and some are sad. But just the mention of his name to so many is a blessing. It lights up your very soul. I don't know about you, but I love to sit and talk with others about the Lord. I love to sit and listen to the testimonies. We're doing a thing in Ballykeel at the moment, and some of our people have been asked to give a testimony, just maybe a 5-minute testimony. And it's been so interesting to listen to each one and how they were brought to faith in Jesus Christ and how they trusted the Lord and how they heard the gospel. And when they began to teach, when they began to talk about Jesus Christ, the thing I noticed about every one of them, their face lit up like a beacon. And what a joy that was to my own soul. I haven't been able to tell them yet, for they don't go to church, that crowd. They stay home and they listen to the tape. But what a joy it is that they've trusted the Lord and they enjoy telling the world about Jesus. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the person of the gospel. You know, it was Jesus Christ that divided history in two from BC and AD. And when Jesus was born, he split history down the middle in a remarkable way. It's interesting, isn't it? He never wrote a book, and yet thousands of books have been written about him. I told you this morning about my wife challenged me during this pandemic about reading the books that were on my shelves. And she gave me a bit of a telling off and thought you should take some of those books. And because most of my books, I would use them as reference copy, not reading all the way through. I probably couldn't remember all of them if I did. But she gave me a bit of a telling off and she said, you should use this time to read some of those books you have never actually read from beginning to end. But you see, dear friends, this, the one we love, the one we call Jesus Christ, he has never written a book, yet thousands of books have been written about him. As far as we know, he has never painted a picture. He has never composed music. He has never penned poems. And yet he has become the subject of all three more than any other individual that ever walked this planet. Jesus never raised an army, but millions have laid down their lives for him. Do you know that it's estimated at this present moment in time there are thousands of people dying for the cause of Jesus Christ? Don't please ever get the idea, dear friends, that martyrs belong to the dark ages. There are many, even today, as I speak, and they're laying down their lives for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ never spoke to more than a few thousand at a time. And yet, we know that this world looks to the one called Jesus. This one, I was reading just recently, I love history. And I was reading just recently something by Napoleon Bonaparte, would you believe? I came across a little book in my study, and I was reading something by this amazing military man. Ended up on an island and was planted there out of the way to die, and eventually did, I understand. But this one that I was reading about, he was talking about Alexander the Great, he was talking about Charlemagne the Great, he was talking about Peter the Great and a few others that he named. And then he said, you have heard, of course, of Napoleon the Great. Well, that's me. But he continued in a vein that I never expected. He said, I am known as Napoleon the Great. I stand beside Alexander the Great, Charlemagne the Great, and many others that I could name. But here's my question. On what foundations did we build or create our empires? Why on force? But I want to tell you, he said, about someone I've been reading about recently. I found a Bible on this island in my own Corsican language, and I've been reading about this individual, and it absolutely has stirred me, startled me, and caused me to stop and think. And that one is called Jesus Christ. And he built an empire, not on force, but on love. And at this very hour, millions love him, millions serve him, and millions will die for him. And he finished the quote with this. This man, Napoleon, as I compare him with the man I've been speaking of called Jesus Christ, what an abyss there lies between our lives. You see, I have the deepest of misery as I read this Bible because I cannot fully understand it. But I have a deeper misery as I read about the life of Jesus Christ and how that he loves this world and gave himself for sinners in this world, and how he is adored by so many people on this earth. And he said this to finish his quote. He said, oh friends, I've come to a point where I want to know Jesus Christ. And my thought about that man was, there's a man's not far from the kingdom. What an amazing thought. You see, Paul could say, I'm not ashamed of the person of the gospel. And then secondly, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He says, I'm not ashamed of the purpose of the gospel. What's the purpose of the gospel? Why, salvation. That's the reason we sing the gospel. That's the reason we preach the gospel. That's the reason we talk about the gospel. That's the reason we introduce Jesus Christ into all our preaching and all our ministry, whatever kind of ministry it is. You see, we don't have to hide in a corner and suck our thumb because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the need to be saved. That's why Jesus came. That's why the Trinity made this arrangement in eternity, that Jesus Christ would come to this world because this world needed saved. I've come to seek and to save the lost. Oh, friends, never forget it. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the person of the gospel. And I'm not ashamed of the purpose of the gospel. Friends, I want to tell you, there's no greater purpose in this world than getting men and women ready for heaven. And that's my task in life. I'm only on this earth for a very short period of time. But I can tell you, I've only ever had two jobs. One was a baker. Started out as a young man, an apprentice baker. And I loved that work. Well, you have to taste everything you make, haven't you? Get in. And I used to do that, a lot of that. But then I have a second job today. I bake bread for many people to keep them alive feed the inner man. But now, you see, I endeavor to present the bread of life to all people who don't have Christ the Savior, and I want them to believe on Him, because that's the whole purpose of preaching the gospel: salvation. Salvation. You see, Jesus' purpose in coming to this world, dear friends, was to bring salvation to men and women. And His cry would be my cry this afternoon or this evening: let Whitehall lead the nations. Let Parliament make the laws. Let the stock market organize the finance. Let the celebrities have the fame. Oh, friends, there's no greater purpose than getting men and women ready for heaven. Never lose sight of that. Even throughout this pandemic, the Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save. Let me say it again. But here's my point. Will you believe it? If you're with us tonight and you're not saved, will you believe that Jesus came to seek you? That Jesus came to save you? That Jesus came to bring you to Himself, that you could one day be with Him in heaven, and that for all eternity? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the person of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the purpose of the gospel. And then he says, I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Friends, I've studied this book for many years. As I told you this morning, I was saved when I was 16. Began to preach when I was 17. And I've been preaching ever since. No, I'll not tell you my age. But anyway, well, I will. I'll be 80 on the 3rd of January. Put that in your diary and remember my birthday. But friends, all of these years, from I began preaching at 17 years of age, all of these years I've been preaching God's precious word and leading men and women to Christ. And I can tell you, I'm not ashamed of the person of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the purpose of the gospel. And I'm not ashamed of the power of God in the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel. I've studied this book for years, and I've preached many, many messages, and I've had the joy of leading souls to Christ, and I've seen my own life change. And folks, that's the power of the gospel at work. A young man had gone down the slippery slope of life. He had become a wretch, a vile person. I was reading about his testimony some time ago. He was loathed by all who knew him. And then one day, by God's wonderful grace, he was gloriously saved. He, after a period of time, applied to a seminary and studied the Word of God and decided that he was being called of God to be a preacher, to be a minister. And he began to study and came through that seminary and came out of that seminary as a ministry and was given the charge of a church. On the very first Sunday that he arrived to preach in that church, the secretary of the church came up to the pulpit and handed him a little note. They began to read the note, and the note was reminding him and highlighting his past sins, what a life he had led. And the note simply said, are you not ashamed of yourself standing up there to tell us how to live when you've lived such a horrific, sinful life yourself? The young preacher eventually stood to his feet and announced that he had been given this note. And he says, I want to read what's on this note. And he read out that note listing all of the sins that this young man had been involved in. And the young man just listened. And then he stood to his feet and he said, now you've heard that list of sins. Well, here's some more that gentleman doesn't know about. And he says, I want to tell you about these as well. And after he had told them all of that, he said, now my text for this morning is Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that morning, in that church, that young minister led half of his congregation to Christ. Wonderful. What an amazing thought. You see, that's what Paul is saying as he prepares to get ready to go to Rome. He says, I'm not ashamed of the person of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the purpose of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel. You see, dear friends, the gospel has power, wonder-working power, and the gospel can change so dramatically. You see, friends, when the gospel is preached, the drunkard can become sober. When the gospel is preached, the crook can be made straight. When the gospel is preached, the impure can be made pure. When the gospel is preached, the proud can be made a prayer warrior. When the gospel is preached, why, the addictive can become active in the work of God. Do you know who penned that lovely hymn, Amazing Grace? Of course you do. John Newton. Here was a man who was a drunkard. Here's a man who was an adulterer, a fornicator, a slave trader, and eventually became a slave of slaves. But one day met the Savior and was wonderfully saved by the power of the gospel of Christ and brought to a new life and wrote many hymns and preached many sermons and led thousands to Jesus Christ. And he could say, I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel, for it's able to save to the uttermost all who come unto Christ by God, or unto God by Christ. Oh, my brothers and sisters, never, ever, ever be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the person of the gospel. He says, I'm not ashamed of the purpose of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel. You see, there's a wonderful thought here, this final thought. I'm not ashamed of the plan of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Two great moments in life. Think about it. If you're not a Christian, that is when we are born and why we are born. When we are born and why we are born. You see, we are born for a reason. We are not, dear friends, in this world accidentally. We are not in this world incidentally. We are in this world providentially. Well, God has a plan for every soul that's born on this planet. God has a purpose for every life through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the whole plan of the preaching of the gospel to the world at large, all down through the years, has been that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ will bring to every soul who will hear the gospel and trust it, belief of the truth, will make them one in Christ, will make them to be what they never could become other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, oh, it's hard for me to believe. Let me tell you this, dear friends. The gospel is not so complicated that few can understand it. The gospel is so simple, many just look over it and talk away from it. And want nothing to do with it. And yet the Bible reminds us that even the simplest soul can understand and find his way or her way onto the highway of God. You know what I fear more than any other thing in this world, dear friends. That some who have heard the gospel over and over and over and over and over again will miss it, while some simple soul somewhere will hear it for the first time and believe it and be ready for heaven. You know, Peter reminds us, and this is a beautiful text, 2 Peter 3:9. He says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Could I put it like this to you, dear friends? It's not the will of the divine sovereign that any should perish. It's not the will of the dying Son, Jesus Christ, that any should perish. It's not the will of the detecting spirit that any should perish. You know, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to take the Word of God, to speak into the heart and mind of every one of us and draw us to faith in Jesus Christ. That's God's plan, to bring to everyone that hears the gospel belief of the truth. And I could tell you tonight that it's not the will of the divine sovereign that any in here would ever perish and die in their sin and go to an awful hell. It's not the will of the dying Son. Why he cried on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's not the will, dear friends, of the detecting spirit. And the Spirit of God takes the Word of God. You see, the Bible is the Word of God that's now in your heart and in your mouth. And you say, well, how did it get there? I've just preached it there. Others have preached it over the years to you. And the Word of God speaks loudly and clearly and calls you to believe, to come, trust Him, take Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I was reading some time ago of a Mr. Carter who had a passion to discover the young king Tut, the Egyptian king. He died when he was 16 and was buried with his great treasure. He had a massive amount of treasure. And he and the treasure were all buried together. Mr. Carter decided that he would hunt for this treasure and took up his whole lifestyle, if you like, and came to live in Egypt and searched and searched and searched. And after 20 years, had to go back home to England, for money was finished. Someone then put up the money for him to go back 2 years later, and he went back 2 years later. And on the 4th of March, 1922, he found the treasure, told his team, and one lady came up to him afterwards and she said, Mr. Carter, that is amazing. Can't understand that you're so down in the mouth about it and you're so crestfallen about it. What is wrong with you, man? Well, he said, just this, for 20 years, I was just inches away from that tomb. And I almost missed it. What a treasure. My dear friends, you're with us tonight and you're not saved. And Jesus Christ is saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I'm saying to you, like the apostle, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Will you believe it? Please be careful. You don't miss it. God has given you an opportunity this evening in this house. Maybe you're in for the first time. Maybe you've come regularly. Maybe you've been here often. And God is giving you another opportunity to believe on His name, to trust His Son, get ready for heaven. Will you do it? Will you take God at His word? Will you trust the one that cannot lie and believe on His name? And get ready for heaven. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again this evening for the privilege of singing the gospel and of speaking the gospel. We praise you, our Father, for the day and hour when we ourselves believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved. And we know tonight that whatever should happen, if we are called out of this scene of time into eternity, we are ready to meet the Lord. Oh, Father, lest there be one in our meeting tonight and they're not ready, please, will you speak into their lives with power, with authority, that they may believe on the gospel of the grace of God and be ready, be saved, and ready for heaven. This we pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.